Columbus of Akron, Ohio. This was recorded at a North Canton AA meeting July the 6th, 1951, by permission granted to Carl Weaver of Canton, Ohio. It was requested by Luke Garrow of Sarasota, Florida, and to be first used at an AA meeting in Tampa, Florida, sometime in the month of July, 1951.
That's about it, Mr. Order Prior. Almighty God, our gracious Heavenly Father, we're thankful to Thee for this privilege of appearing before this group who've gathered here to learn more about a better way of life. We ask that Thou be in our midst, guide and direct our thoughts, guide and direct what I may say, and whatever's said or whatever's done, may it be done towards Thy honor and glory. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. First thing, I want to invite you folks for... I want to thank you folks for inviting me down here. Next thing, I want to congratulate you on having as many here as you have on your first anniversary. I think it was on our 9th anniversary that we had over in Akron High that I heard Doc get up and make this statement. I never paid much attention to statistics about any kind of statistics about AA. It never made any particular difference to me who was first, second, third, or fourth. How many, but I heard Doc get up and make this statement. He said that at our first anniversary, we had 6 at the end of the year. Well, I didn't remember that. And he said that 4 of them were here tonight. That was on our 9th anniversary, he said, and 4 of them are here tonight. 1 of them dead, and 1 of them's out of town and couldn't be here. Well, I happen to know that a couple of them that were there had had little trouble during those 9 years, but they had were there that night and were sober. And so that's all we had on our first anniversary was 6, and of course there were several times 6 here. And of course, when we had that anniversary, I certainly never expected to be down North Canton talking to folks. And there are a lot of the other places where I have been and talking. We just had in mind that we'd get sober and stay sober. And to do that, we had to go out and take this program to a few people, and enough to get sober and stay sober ourselves. And then that would be the end to it. Now, that's all I had in mind, I know, and I'm pretty positive that there wasn't anything much else in the mind of the others except to stay sober ourselves. That early thought has been worth quite a little bit to me in 2 or 3 ways. I haven't felt any great responsibility about the movement being such a wonderful movement and all those great things is going to be done. I even had a woman after one of the meetings I was to, she come around, she was been a missionary in China for a long time. A very wonderful woman. She said, this is wonderful. She said, maybe this is the answer. This is the answer to world peace. And I said, well, I don't know. Anyhow, I hope it is the answer to peace in a lot of homes around here in Akron where they used to get drunk and fight with each other. Now, if you can carry it on over and make a world peace out of it, that's fine. But I have always had in mind that the main purpose of AA was to stay sober. Now, there's a lot to AA, in my opinion, that's worth a lot more. And a lot in there outside of staying sober, but actually and honestly, I hope that we always keep sobriety as the main purpose of AA. Now, I know positively that that's the thing that we started out with, was to stay sober. Certainly, I've got a lot of things out of it further than that. One fellow even argued with me about not so long ago and said if sobriety had been the only thing he got, it just wouldn't have been worthwhile. And I said, well, I don't know about you, but I know about me. I said, the first last 6 months I drank, I was dragged into the hospital 8 times. 6 months. And 4 or 5 times of those times, I've been tied down out of bed there too before ever I knew I was there. And I said, my doctor told me I didn't have but 2 or 3 more, and I know I knew as well as he knew that I didn't have. He said, you get in such terrible shape that you're not going to make many more of them. And I knew it. And that was 16 years ago, and I'm still living and still feeling pretty good. In fact, just about a year ago, I had some sort of virus, and I stayed in bed 2 days. And my wife kept telling me to go to the doctor, but I think this is sort of a cold, and I don't want to be bothered with doctors. And, but I did finally go, and he told me, he said, you sick? And I said, yeah, I know. But I came back and told my wife. She said, well, I kept wanting you to go to the doctor. She said, I knew you were sick. She said, that's the first time I've seen you stay in bed all day since they used to tie you in bed 15 years ago. which was the truth. I hadn't thought about it. But I said that happened to me the last 6 months I drank. And I've had, since that time, day before yesterday, the 4th day of July was when I came out of the hospital. Of course, I'd been sober some 3 or 4 days then. And that was 16 years ago that I came out of the hospital, and I said I've had 8 or 10 years extra of life, I know, that have been good with good health. And then you tell me, I said that certainly was worthwhile. If I had never gotten anything more out of AA than that fact that I don't go to the hospital anymore and not go through all that hell and stuff that I went through with, and the fact that I've had that number of years of good life is certainly worthwhile. If I had never gotten anything more, I did get a lot more out of it, and there's a lot more in it. And I hope that folks will get it. But I still hope that we keep that sobriety the main purpose of AA. And, you know, it's getting a little bit harder for me to lead a meeting right along. I think the reason for that is that I've been doing it for so long, and the most of you fellas know that I've been doing it for so long, and so you begin to wonder why in the devil I don't get any better than what I am. And that makes it a little bit tough on me. Well, that might be good, too. Maybe then they'll sort of stop asking me. You know, I was just talking. I think the first meeting that I went out of town to lead was over in Toledo, and I expect that was better than 10 years ago, because I think it was about 2 years ago I was over in Adrian, Michigan, and I was talking to big fellas there, and I said the first time I was ever over here in Toledo, he was up there from Toledo, and I said that was about 7 or 8 years, something like that ago. He said, well, I know exactly how long it's been. He said, I hadn't been sober but about 3 weeks, and I was at that meeting, and I've been sober 8 years, so it's been better than 10 years, first time, as far as I know, that I went out of town. And I've been doing it, and there's a lot of you fellas back there that can do just as good a job as I can, and you ought to be up here leading this meeting instead of me, because you can do it just as well, and it will help you. Because in my opinion, there isn't anything much that helps a person more than leading meetings. In fact, that was one of the main things that they had in mind when we started out. And when we went to a meeting in the early days, we didn't know when we went who was going to lead the meeting. We went and we had what we called quiet time, and during that quiet time, we was to open our minds with for instruction as to who we thought ought to lead the meeting that night. And then after we did that, sat there in silence for 5 minutes, why they start around, who'd you think, and this fellow say this one, that one, and whoever happened to have the most, we pointed to him and said, well, it's you. So he got up there and took charge of the meeting and went ahead. And we didn't know until we got there who was going to do it, and that wouldn't be a bad idea to try out, in my opinion, every once in a while here. It'll help, fella. It might muss him up a little bit for a minute or two, and did us, but we'll get over it. And I used to say when I started out that if no one was helped in the meeting except me, well, I certainly know I knew I would be by leading the meeting. It would help it. And this idea of these fine speakers and good speakers and so forth been called in, I never have been too much in favor of that, because I've seen some mighty good fellas take a licking on account of the fact that I'm very positive that that idea that they were in demand quite a bit as speakers sort of began to go to up here to the top of their head a little bit, and they got a little proud of it. And the fact is, I watched two or three of them, and I was sort of wondering if that wasn't happening. And one or two of them, it certainly happened terribly bad to them. Now, that might not have had anything to do with it, but they did fall off and didn't do so good, and I sort of wondered. It's a little, now, I'm not saying what I got up here to say. But it is a little hard, you know. I was lucky. I've been lucky all the way through, eh? That's helped me out an awful lot. I never could feel particularly complimented by the reason of the fact that they asked me, because they happened to ask me just because I happened to be the first person that Doc and Bill worked on and were successful with. I'm very positive that's the reason they asked me, rather than what I happened to say. Well, I had no control over the fact that they happened to be the ones that I happened to be the ones that they picked up first, so I never could feel that way about it. And that's been a help to me. But I remember one time I came in there at home. I'd been to a meeting, and you know, I think so. The meeting, you know, something getting sort of wrong with these meetings. They're not hardly up to par. And I don't know just what's the matter. What's wrong? They ain't happening, or something. I just wasn't. I was rather low about how I was going. And I picked up a little book there and opened it like this. I just saw it laying there. It was my wife's magazine. I didn't know how to ever look at it. But I picked it up that night and pulled it open. Just a matter of luck. I never looked. Pulled it up there and I started to read. And I never even looked at the heading. I don't know yet what the heading of the article was, but the part I read was, I'm a little ashamed to tell you this, but it actually happened. A fellow said he went over to his neighbors, and the fellow insisted on showing him about an hour or better of pictures, moving pictures that he'd taken of he and his family around the house there. Well, the man said, I had seen him day after day around there doing those same things, and I'd seen those rose bushes and things, and it really wasn't very interesting. It was rather boring to me to sit down and look at those pictures. Then everything was over. He said, of course, naturally, to be polite, I had to say something. Said they had a little 8-year-old girl. Said I looked over at her. And I said, well, what part of the picture did you like the best? Well, she said, the part I was in, of course, she said. We all do. And that came in my mind. Now, do you reckon that's what is sort of the matter? Maybe they sort of slipped up here. And maybe they haven't been paying you hardly as much attention. Maybe you haven't led as many meetings. In the last, I won't tell you this, I'm sort of ashamed of it, but it might help you. And I said, haven't they been paying as much attention to you as they should, or something like that? That's the reason you're commonly hurt. And when I analyzed it down and write down the fact, I had to come to the conclusion that possibly that might have had something to do with the fact that I thought those meetings weren't hardly as entertaining as they had been, because I hadn't had the spatial attention that I maybe thought that I ought to have. Although I really never particularly wanted any spatial attention, because, and I've told them over and over again, I don't, because I'm very positive that if anybody else begins to set me up there as somebody to go by and lean on and give me spatial attention, why, the old devil, he'll start giving me spatial attention too. And I've had about all the attention from that boy for the last 16 years and all my life that I really want. Now, I don't say that in any sacrilegious way. I mean it. Because he's always right after a fella. And if he says, oh, well, if I kick Bill out, I can knock a half a dozen, well, he'll concentrate on me, and I don't need any concentrating. And that's neither here nor there. But I thought about that might happen. And, but the fact, as I mentioned a while ago, that it's the idea of sobriety is the reason that we are primarily in AA, and the fact that I never expected any great world movement or anything like that to go out of it has helped me, because in that way I can go ahead and do AA and practice AA the same way it was taught to me, which I'm going to give it to you directly in about, and it only takes me about 10 minutes to do that. That's what I ought to do, of course, and quit, but I keep on talking for a long time to get up to it. And it's helped me to go ahead and practice and talk AA just the way I learned it, without feeling too much responsibility of what's going to happen to the movement, and arguing with this bunch that wants to do it this way, and arguing with this bunch that wants to do it that way. And now there's quite a little bit of that, you know, that's going on around now. Some of them want it this way, and some of them want it the other way. And I told a fella today, he came all the way down to Cleveland and bought my dinner to give me hell for some of the things that he thought was so-and-so, and I just told him, I said, now wait, I learned this AA one way, and I learned AA that the main purpose that I was in AA was not to save the world and not to save a lot of people, but to keep Bill Dotson sober. That's the main reason I'm in there. To do that, I have to take this message two people, now, from now on, they have to take over. I can't keep them sober. I couldn't keep them sober. I couldn't save the world. I don't think I was expected to save the world. And then the fact is, I can't think that you can find any place in the Bible, any place, where anybody was supposed to save anybody. If you go back and read the four synoptic gospels, you'll find just before Jesus ascended, he said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. He never told you to save anybody. I even read in the paper today where that fellow minister up there was wanting so-and-so so he could save a lot of people, see. I don't think we do that, and I don't think we keep them sober. We can take them the message, but from there on, it's between them and this higher power as to what happened. And that's what I've been doing, is when they ask me to go around and tell folks the AA program as it gave it to me, and sometimes a few other little things that I've noticed that I heard a fellow get up and say in King School on Wednesday night, and it's the first time I'd heard him admit it that way. He said he stayed sober 7.5 years, and then he got drunk, and it took him about 15 months to get sobered back. Well, that was true, and I knew it, and he's been sober since. And he admitted that he said, I was a terribly intolerant son of a gun. He said, I just didn't have no damn use for these fellas that came into AA and slipped. He said, I just couldn't see it at all. Well, I thank goodness I never had that kind of a spirit. When he comes around and tells me, he said, oh, he said, I had a slip. I said, the devil, you had a slip. You just went out and got drunk. Just exactly the same way I did hundreds of times after I knew I shouldn't. I went out and did it. Now, that's just what you did. No slipping or anything else. Just start right over again. Of course, maybe AA would look better to the outside world if we saved every fellow that came around and said he belongs to AA. I don't know how in the world he belongs to AA. There wasn't any joining or anything like that when I came in. And now I ramble around there and talk to you. It was, as I mentioned a while ago, it was 16 years ago, about the 26th of June, that I came to over there in the city hospital in Akron, Ohio. One Thursday morning, that's the only way in the world that I knew what particular day it was. I knew it was Wednesday, and I went in there, and the only way in the world that I remembered a year or two later That it was Wednesday was that I knew I started on Saturday. And the last time before that that I had come out of the hospital, I told my wife, I said, for goodness sakes, don't let me get in such terrible shape anymore before I get into the hospital. I said, that's been hell the last few times, I'll tell you. See if you can't get me to go in the hospital. It usually took me about 10, 12 days from the time I took that first drink until I ended up over there in the hospital tied down. It took 10 or 12 days. A week of it out, round like that, and in and out. And then the last week of it up there on the third floor in my home, so I was supposed to be out of town, and if anybody come in, they wouldn't hear me up there. And I just laid up there in that bed on the third floor by myself, which wasn't my bedroom, it was on the second. But I'd go up there and hide, and every time I'd wake up, I'd just reach over and get the bottle and take another drink and go back to sleep. And keep that up for about 4 or 5 days or a week. Finally, it comes a day, you know, you've heard fellas talk about throwing them up, you know, couldn't get them down in the morning. Well, I throwed them up, up like that, but that never made any particular difference to me, because I knew that if I kept on swallowing them, I'd finally get one that would stay down directly. And, but if you do like what I talked to you just about doing, you spend about a week drink, and then last week up there on the floor, just nothing to eat, just reach over, take the bottle, and go back to sleep. Finally, you wake up someday and look at it, and you say, no, it wouldn't do any good. It just wouldn't do any good. You fool with that now, as long as it's going to do any good. Another day or so of this, and you'll be dead. So, start off with my wife, get a hold of the doctor. I didn't go to the hospital only for the 6 weeks, but the last 2 or 3 years I drank, I never got over one without having to call a doctor. Fine time finally comes when you look at it and you know that it isn't going to do any good. See, another drink isn't going to do you any good. You're just so full and sick of it that you wouldn't care anything about throwing it up, but you just know it isn't going to do you any good. One minute you're trying to take it, and then you have to do something about it. And so I told her not to let me get so bad the next time, so I started on Saturday. Now, isn't that odd? I remember just how I took that first drink on Saturday. I went home early from the office, figuring that to stay sober. And then I got home, got up there at the house, and it was June, it was hot, and I got drier and drier. And I wanted to drink worse and worse, and there was a place over there where they sold only liquor and wine and no whiskey. And so I fooled, shook, and bothered and fooled around there. I hadn't had a drink probably for a couple of weeks then, maybe, at least that long. But I was so nervous and I wanted to drink. And I finally sold myself, and I sold my wife. Well, I don't guess I sold either one of us. I don't know. But I tried to sell her on the idea that I'd just run over there and have a cold glass of beer and come back. It was time for dinner or supper, whichever you call it, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And it was about time to eat, and she had about ready, and I'll just run over there, and I'll have a couple of cold bottles of beer, and I'll run right back and eat my supper, and I won't get drunk. Now I know if I'm going to drink a couple of cold bottles of beer, damn if I'm going to eat right after, because that's just wasted. That's all. I'm going to only have a couple. I ain't going to waste the food right after. But I really thought that could be done, see? And I guess I even told her I'll take the boy. He's about 8 or 9 years. I'll take the boy along to ensure the fact that I'm going to come back. And, well, I don't guess I made her believe it, but she didn't anyhow plan. And of course, about 11 o'clock, she...